You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Let's take a closer look now at the legal questions swirling around DACA. Immigration attorney Bradley Mays of Farmington Hills is with us. And I know you've got some concerns, Bradley, about the future of DACA and the new executive order signed by President Trump. But I want to start by having you clarify for us just what DACA does and what it does not do.
Sure. DACA was instituted in 2012 by President Obama at the tail end of his first term. And essentially, because of the inaction by Congress, I think that he wanted to provide some kind of relief for young people. And this covers young people who have been here, arrived in the United States before they were 16 years old, and have then went to high school, completed high school, or are currently in high school, and don't have any disqualifying convictions or arrests. And it allows people to stay here, essentially, on deferred action.
But it's not a golden ticket to citizenship.
No, it's not. In fact, that's the concern. And the concern now with the executive orders is that the executive orders that President Trump signed don't specifically exclude DACA recipients from these executive orders from being arrested. And there's nothing really to extend DACA. So that's the big concern in the community right now.
Although President Trump, even though during the campaign he was taking aim at DACA, since he was sworn in, he seems to be saying, well, I know there are some complicated things and we're not targeting them. We're targeting the bad dudes.
Right. He stepped back from that in some conversations about DACA. But really, from a policy perspective, the executive orders do put DACA recipients in danger. And in fact, last week, last Thursday, ICE sent out some tweets, which is very unusual, about how they can continue to enforce the executive orders, and it doesn't exclude DACA recipients. In fact, it says that persons who have deferred action, they can still have their removal orders executed. So it's very unsure what's going to happen to DACA recipients. And if this is official ICE policy, this essentially confirms the fears in the community that the government is trying to get through the back door, they can't get through the front door, meaning that they are enforcing these executive orders against DACA recipients without explicitly saying we're getting rid of DACA. And that is a huge concern.
What needs to happen to protect these dreamers?
Right. President Trump needs to explicitly exclude DACA recipients from these executive orders of arrest. Now, these are people who came here when they were very young. I myself came here as an immigrant when I was 5 years old. I feel as an American as every other DACA recipient who came here when they were 5, 6, 7 years old. There needs to be something to explicitly exclude these persons from the executive orders, from the arrest, and in addition to include them or extend DACA. So there's a possibility for some kind of future permanent status.
And what kind of stories are you hearing as people call you?
Yeah, the big concern is that persons who have DACA can have their DACA status rescinded by them being arrested by ICE as part of just a collateral arrest. So if they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time and they're targeting someone else, a non-targeted person can get caught up in this. And suddenly, once they're placed in removal proceedings, they automatically lose that DACA status. And that has happened to a couple of our clients already.
And then?
They go to immigration court and they face being removed to their country. And this is a traumatic experience for the community where these persons, these young people went to school, went to high school, they're part of their community. Some of them are even going to college, University of Michigan, and they're really excelling, and they're really part of our community. They're part of the future of our community.
Basically, I'm hearing you say they're kind of collateral damage.
Many of them are collateral damage, and the problem with the executive orders is that it gives so much leeway and discretion to ICE officers and the police to call ICE if they think someone is not legal. So even if someone has been arrested in a collateral arrest where they're targeting someone else, or if they've committed a civil infraction like a speeding ticket, ICE can get involved, and suddenly these persons who were going along their lives just like regular persons, young people are caught up in the fray and they could face removal.
Is there anyone in Washington championing the cause of the Dreamers?
Right now, no. I don't think that there's anybody that's really going forward with this explicitly. There's so much talk about what's going to happen with an immigration bill. Unfortunately, most of the chatter is how to prevent all these bad executive orders from affecting many people. There needs to be some kind of comprehensive immigration reform, and there needs to be something that specifically excludes Dreamers, DACA recipients from the executive orders, and then gives them some kind of path to legalization. There's been some studies done that for all the people who are here illegally, that if there's a path legalization, their contribution to the economy will increase about 20% more than what they are now. Now, these DACA recipients have a lot of human capital. They've gone to high school. Some of them gone to college. They're better educated than their parents. They can really contribute to our economy much more you know, in the future. And these are young people. And we are built on, you know, young people built this country. Immigrants built this country.
You know, when you think of what options these Dreamers have to getting legal status, we asked Javier that, and he said, well, unless I get married, he's not sure what else could keep him from being sent back to Mexico, where he has not set foot since he was 4 years old. Is there any other option?
Right now, there's not really. I mean, even if Javier gets married to a U.S. citizen and has children, that does not assure him status in this country. At least it doesn't assure him status immediately. He may have to go back to Mexico and wait to come back. And that could be a long period of time for a young family, separated from children, separated from studies. So really, you know, Javier is kind of the poster boy for DACA not being extended, and also the fear that the executive orders will apply to DACA recipients.
What are your hopes for these Dreamers? You get to know them through your practice.
These are young people. They're inspired to fulfill the American dream. You know, their parents came here to ensure a better life for themselves and really for their children. And what happens with immigrant communities is that a parent will come with their kids, and the kids are the ones who really achieve the goals that the parent hopes that they will achieve. These young people are really motivated. They're inspired. They feel American. They feel just as American as I do, even though I've been here since I was 5 years old. And they want to contribute. This is their home.
What would you say to the president and to those who are completely behind his executive orders?
Right. Well, so the executive orders need to exclude some people. They're just overly broad right now. It's giving discretion to officers that they shouldn't have. Typically, when someone was pulled over by the state police, they would call ICE. This is in the Obama years. And Immigration and Customs Enforcement would say, this person's not a priority. We're not interested. Only when someone really becomes a priority, if they actually are convicted of crimes. I mean, the executive orders allows discretion to ICE officers to arrest people when they think someone has committed a crime, or they think someone's committed a crime, or they're a public or security danger. Now, that is a wide discretion to use. And for DACA recipients, who are really some of the most vulnerable of those here, it's just unfair.
How worried are you about ICE agents overreaching?
Very much so. And the big concern is because they have the authority to overreach, the anxiety in the community is just difficult to manage. Here we have, in Javier's case, we have his parents who are here undocumented. So they're concerned about getting deported. They're concerned about him, and they're concerned about the younger brother who has a medical condition.
Who's a citizen.
And so here we have this anxiety of this family on two fronts, from the parents and from Javier's perspective. It's really unfair. We need to allow the persons who are here, who are contributing to our community, who are not dangerous, to continue to be here and find a way to solve the problem. There are 11 million people here that are here undocumented. We need to find a solution to this problem. And it's not just going out and arresting people and throwing them back to where they came from. That doesn't make sense from an economic stance. Doesn't make sense from a political and socially. It's ruining communities.
Farmington Hills-based immigration attorney Bradley Mays. Thanks so much, Bradley.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.